Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, so if you were not watching football yesterday, and I didn't get to watch as much football as I wanted to because I'm trying to be a better family person. But by the way, Sean Pendergast out today. John Harris from the Houston Texans and FootballTakeover.com. If you're looking for your early edge on the draft, especially next year, go to FootballTakeover.com. John, were you watching the Bills game with a couple of minutes left?
I was. In fact, I had just. Shout out to my guys at Raging Cajun. Dom and Dola took care of me. I didn't want to do a turkey because it's just myself and my son. So my wife usually does the turkey, and I was like, I just don't even want to mess with it. So if I got to heat it up, great. So I did. So I was literally going over to the refrigerator, and I have a small TV in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I had the TV on in the living room, and I had one on in the kitchen, and so I was kind of bouncing back and forth. So I literally was on my way to the kitchen to take the turkey and put it in the oven to warm it up. And all of a sudden, whoever the weatherman is popped up on the screen.
Well, here it is.
Let's make it quick.
This is how it sounded.
I don't know what you do with it, but you keep kicking like that, or you can monetize it a lot of ways.
Yep, trademark. Branding.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist Tim Pandages here at the KHOU 11 Weather Center. I want to cut in this afternoon here at 2:43 to let you know that we have a tornado warning that was just issued for portions of Brazoria, Fort Bend, Galveston, and Harris County. Now, there's a lot going on this map here, so let me get a quick zoom in here and show you exactly where that tornado warning polygon currently is. I mean, we're talking here the far northern portions of Brazoria. You can see it here, man.
Okay.
So
polygon. I'm like.
So for anybody that just tuned in, that was a recording from yesterday.
Yes.
There's not another tornado warning. So Tim Pandages broke in with this, and I got to be honest with you, I felt like he looked like he didn't want to be breaking in at that moment. I felt like he looked like he was doing it under duress, knowing that it was not going to be a popular move, cutting completely in on this football team. But as you were starting to say, you figure, okay, this will be a couple minutes. 17 minutes this went on.
He made a comment about, or maybe I read this, but they have to do, as long as the tornado warning stays a warning, they've got to stay on the air. And I thought, yeah. I've never heard that before. I'm 50 years old. I don't know that I've ever heard that before. So I thought, okay, I mean, I get it. It's bad weather. Totally understand. I respect Mother Nature. I will never at any point curse Mother Nature for anything. But I'm like, split screen this thing, man.
I know. That's the whole
thing.
Split screen it. There were a whole lot of people that popped out of the woodwork that are like huge either weather fanatics or FCC fanatics. It turns out the FCC has a bunch of people like the people that watch golf tournaments and call in rules violations.
Right.
You know, anybody can call in a rules violation to the PGA.
Yeah.
I feel like because yesterday Sean Pendergast was beside himself with rage that people were defending the KHOU break-in. I feel like – that's the decision to not go to a split screen, I'm guessing, is made from up higher, and it's not Tim Pandages. Don't take it out on Tim Pandages. That's his. This is not his fault.
Okay, along those lines.
Yeah.
People, when you're mad at the Texans, you don't have to be mad at me. Okay? You don't have to be mad at me. All right?
But you're somebody that will listen is what
so
people know.
So I understood so what Tim get, was yeah. going I understood what Tim was going through. He was then responding on Twitter.
Yeah.
And look, I'm sure that Tim probably agreed. And you could have put Tim in a picture-to-picture box, have him or I don't know, split screen. What there are ways you could have done that where everybody's satisfied, where, hey, there's a weather thing going on. Leave Tim, but let me watch what's happening because Josh Allen put on a show. But it's a very similar thing. People are going after Tim. It's like, it's not Tim's fault. That was made from above. Like, everywhere I go, I walk into Kroger, I watch an HEB, and they're like, hey, why are they doing this? I'm like, I don't know. I just talk about the team, man.
This is where I think the FCC has to update too, because this is the people kept trying to go the noble route in defending this.
Right.
So Sean Pendergast was getting into it with people. He had said this KHOU tornado warning versus NFL debacle has unearthed the following categories of lames. One, people are hoping for a tornado so the NFL fans feel awful, guy. Two, the wannabe weather nerds. And three, the FCC rulebook know-it-all who actually doesn't know squat, especially not knowing squat about going to split screen. And this is what I saw people that were arguing with Sean that kept going to this. They kept going the noble route by saying, but if the split screen is used, people will still focus on the game and not the weather that saves lives. The weather should be the main focus. This is where people need to grow up a little bit. Okay. The vast majority of people at any given time in America are not watching television, okay? So it shouldn't be up to the FCC and television stations alone, mind you, because I can't remember ever being broken in on for a tornado weather warning.
Yeah.
Okay, there's multiple. At any given time, television could be used to be saving lives, all right? It does. There's some situation ongoing somewhere in a city the size of Houston where television could be used to be saving lives. It doesn't mean that you have to break in all the time to save those lives always.
Yeah.
I say the strong shall survive with or without television, damn it.
Right. I mean, if you really wanted to make an impact, you would have just, there would have been some alert that came on all of our phones because our phones are attached to our hips, hands, pockets, wherever, all the time. What they absolutely easily could have done, guys, there's a tornado warning. Look at my polygon as I'm teaching you geometry. And you do the full screen for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And you talk about where it is, here it is. I mean, TV, you've been on TV, I've been on TV. It's brief, right? It's brevity. You're supposed to be brief in what you're bang a bang, bada bada bada, doom, out. All right? Yeah. That's just kind of the rhythm you follow, you're out. You're not like radio where we got to kill 4 hours. You're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. You go for 25, 30 seconds, and then you continue with a split screen. So you go full screen, tell everybody what's going on. Here's the deal. I got to stay with you, but now we're going to split screen, and we're going to take you back to the game and show you the game, but I'm going to be talking on the other side. Because a lot of people aren't even watching the game. They're just listening. They're just kind of taking in whatever's going around them. So.
Right, yeah. If you want to actually save lives, you're exactly right. The people that are there to watch the game. And if you want to save lives, then just go ahead and get their attention. And then they can see that information. You can put it down in the corner on a split screen or what have you. Or just grab their attention shortly. Versus when you keep it extended, people are just turning away. Or they're going to, the people that are there to watch the game are going to their phones to try to watch the game. It's much ado about something that's very significant. But it can never happen again. That's Thursday. That's Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving football. That's a big deal to people.
It's a massive deal to people.
The people had to hang out with their families during that time instead of watching TV.
And I get the fact that, you know, the weather nerds that are out there, there are football nerds out there too, and I'm raising my hand. I'm one of those. And you could have brought the weather nerds and the football nerds together in beautiful harmony at that particular moment. And it would have been, it's going to be an unforgettable moment, but I found it interesting because the awful announcing article said all these people had Figgy, it had Brandon, it had Sean.
I think guys were all in
it. They were all in the awful announcing article because that thing was up in like 7 minutes. I think that thing went up while the alert was still going on. And it, I mean, it was frustrating. I knew I was going to be able to see it at some point, so I wasn't losing it. I wanted to make sure I got my turkey in on time, so I was frustrated by it. And then I was frustrated with just the execution of it. Like, okay, we get the point. You're talking about octagons and polygons, and then Tim started drawing things that didn't look, like, really good. Here's the thing. If you ever Telestrate, I've learned this, never put two circles together.
Never two circles in a shaft.
Never two circles.
No, it's going to
two
get
circles with a
forever.
Line is done. Never
be, yeah,
do that.
You end up as a part of a montage of right. weathermen doing right. various things. Oh, yeah, that awful announcing article was a highlight reel for Sports Radio 610
yeah,
personnel.
Exactly.
Sean Pendergast is splitting the screen, not an option. End of the season, we are getting a meteorology class. Figgy says, we missed the ending to a good game because of KHOU. With a gift from some TV show that I don't know. Let's see.
I think Brandon was mentioned in there, too. I think Brandon was in that article, too.
Oh, let's see. Vanessa Richardson, weather and safety is more important than anything, period. But could we at least have gotten a little split screen action? Yeah, I know. Well, there's a
and
lot
Vanessa's
of...
Vanessa's done TV before, she would know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She knows the deal. I'm not seeing Brandon on here.
Well, I thought Brandon was on there. I know Brandon had said a couple of things.
The other notable thing that happened yesterday, there's some good football action yesterday. The Patriots lost to the Vikings, and there was a Hunter Henry touchdown called on the field midway through the third quarter, which would have given the Patriots a 30-23 lead. They would end up losing after the Vikings scored 10 more unanswered points after this Hunter Henry touchdown was overruled. So Hunter Henry catches the ball at the goal line, reaches over, and kind of lands with the ball crossing the plane. But then the ball jostles as it hits the ground and he goes down. And this turned into one of those classic, like, wait a second, I'm pretty sure I know the rules. Oh, wait, but if I think about it a little bit more, maybe I don't know the rules. Wait a second, I totally know the rules. That should be a touchdown. Oh, but Walt Anderson makes a good point here. What the hell? Was this, I feel like, and this is always notable on a Thanksgiving or anything, like, I feel like if it's anywhere Cowboys adjacent, it's notable. I don't feel like this is the same as the Dez Bryant catch. After it was explained to me, I feel like I understand why this wasn't ruled a touchdown.
I get it. I understand it. I think what confuses people about it is the catch situation versus a run situation. For example, if you were having a short yardage play out in the middle of the field and your quarterback dove over the top with the ball, but as he dove over the top, even though he crossed the line to gain, the ball came out. It's a fumble. But if you do that down on the goal line, as soon as it crosses the play, it's a touchdown. So I think that's where it's kind of confusing in some sense. The other fact is when he reaches out and snatches the ball before he goes to the ground, he snatches it. He has it in both hands. It looks like a catch at that point because he has got it secured in his two hands.
Yeah.
And then when he hits the ground, that's when the ball turns around. So it looked like a catch. It looked like a touchdown, which in fact, by rule, it goes back to, you know, Patriots, you know, days of yore, the tuck rule. That looked like a fumble, but yet the rule said this is what it is. So it's the thing about it, and I say this all the time, it's the right application of a wonky rule.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rule's kind of janky.
The definition
they
of
applied
a catch.
It right. They applied the rule right for a pretty janky rule. So the Patriots fans are screaming about that. Look, you got a whole dynasty, you got two decades of it. Because of that same situation. So just cool your jets a little bit.
Yeah, take that. Hey, we're getting ready for the Texans and Dolphins on Sunday afternoon. Texans countdown gets going at 9 on Sunday, presented by Modelo. Kickoff at noon, and Texans postgame starts at noon as the clocks hit zero. Up next, we've got Brooks Cabina, beat writer for the Chronicle, into Phyllis, all in on what the Texans are and are certainly not saying about the looming change at quarterback this Sunday. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
John is on vacation. John Harris from the Houston Texans and footballtakeover.com is filling in for him. And on the phone, we have Brooks Cabina from the Houston Chronicle, who goes to press conferences and who was there on Wednesday when Lovie Smith gave what I think, Brooks, was one of the odder things I've seen in terms of a team continuing to double down on saying that there's no change when it very much appears like there's a change. What exactly is going on with the Texans' official line on who's going to be quarterback on Sunday?
Well, their official line is they've kept that to themselves, and on today is when we'll talk to the quarterback. So they've held that for a while. So Lovie Smith calls it a competitive advantage, and then moments after getting off the podium, it gets out that Kyle Allen's taking first team reps in practice on Wednesday, locally, nationally, and everywhere. So, it's just an exercise. It's strange whenever you know that, and the back and forth of sparring about whether the quarterback change is happening or not is kind of pointless in that kind of sphere. So, the Texans can kind of – the odd thing, too, was talking to Pep Hamilton after that, asked him about the quarterback change, and they just said flat out no, which you can deliver a half-truth. The Texans could go out, practice, change up the reps. Kyle Allen could go in and take first-team reps, which he did, and they don't have to officially tell the media or the players and then wait till the end of the week, tell their guy, and then, go into the game with their new quarterback. That's the projection here. Expect to talk to Kyle Allen today, and that's the way that they've decided to do it, which is what they've decided to do. And on the same day, talking to Lovie Smith about how the Jets, who are playoff contending and are probably looking for more competitive advantages than anyone at this point, came out and said that they would bench Zach Wilson. So the Texans have their way of doing business. And the way that they've talked to us, and that was the way it played out.
Okay, Brooks, so let's say that when we go over to the press conference today and it is Kyle Allen and it does become seemingly official. Anything can happen, I suppose. But let's say it is Kyle Allen. What do you expect? From Kyle Allen? And now I guess we can talk about it because we're going to talk about it on Saturday night too on Extra Points, by the way. So make sure you check out Brooks Cabina and I with Drew Doherty on Extra Points Saturday night. So now we're actually going to talk about it. if it is Kyle Allen, which we expect it's going to be Brooks, what changes? What do you think changes in the offense, and what do you expect from Kyle Allen?
Well, I think Kyle Allen's a quarterback that can come in and play with house money. I mean, one of the things that the Texans have struggled to do is push the ball downfield, especially early on in the game. And Kyle Allen, in his career, I know it's been in different schemes, but you just look at his average yards per target, and it's a yard over than Davis Mills for this year. And he kind of captured the fan base a bit whenever he was starting for the Panthers in 2019, and he was kind of a guy that made things happen. And I think he can come in and play a little bit more loose, which honestly the last 3 to 4 weeks I was kind of expecting Davis Mills to play more so that way. I mean, Davis was a quarterback who was drafted in the third round in 2021 and came into this year knowing that this was an evaluation year, that he needed to make something happen, unless and else the Texans would be going pursuing a quarterback in the offseason. So I think Allen brings that to the table. He's been in the NFL for 4 years, two different teams, and got a chance to talk to a couple of players in the locker room on Wednesday. And they described him as a veteran who stepped in, and he was throwing the ball around. And I expect that he's going to talk about this as a chance for himself to, get a chance to play again. He's on a 1-year deal, and I'm kind of relating this to the last time there were some quarterback changes in a similar way back in 2013. I remember how Case Keenum came in and started throwing the ball, chucking it around, and ended up getting himself an opportunity with the Vikings later on. So this is an opportunity for a quarterback to get himself a chance to get some self on film. And I think Allen will treat that. We'll see that on Sunday too, just in the way that he plays the game.
One thing Robert Saleh had said when he announced the benching of Zach Wilson was that, you know, Zach Wilson would play again for the Jets. This was not an end to his career and all of that. Would you be surprised if Davis Mills plays again this season?
No, I wouldn't. And it's interesting how you can just communicate that pretty easily as a coach. And, I mean, it's Davis Mills is under contract for 2 more years. When Nick Caseri was talking to you guys on Wednesday morning, he said that he felt that Mills had a bright future ahead of him. So, I mean, he's going to be around for 2 more years under contract. And if they were to draft a quarterback with their right now number one overall pick, he'd be under contract to be the backup. They'd still want him to push whoever it is, in practice. And maybe if he, gets better over time that he'd come back to it. I mean, but for this year specifically, to your question, no, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a reset and they go back and maybe Kyle Allen plays poorly, maybe he plays worse, and then going back to him by the end of the year. I mean, there's 7 games remaining, so we saw it last year whenever Tyrod Taylor came back from injury, played for a bit, didn't work out, they turned back to Mills to do some more evaluation. So I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they turned back to him by the end of the year, depending on how Allen played.
All right, Brooks, so we can't talk about hypotheticals because it's sports radio. It's what we do. Let's say Kyle Allen goes 6-1 down the stretch. Just goes crazy, goes 6-1 down the stretch. Now, I know you people out there listening are going, it ain't happening. Well, listen, anything could happen. Kyle Allen goes 6-1 as a starting quarterback down the stretch. What do you do going into 2023?
Well, I mean, depends on how he looks, right? But I have a hard time thinking that whenever you've made a quarterback change in the middle of the season like this, that you don't highlight that as the position of need going into the offseason regardless. If he was to come in and look really, really good, I mean, that changes a lot. But, now we're delving into what is expected versus what we could see.
Right.
Just sitting there today knowing even – where Kyle Allen played with the Panthers going into 2019, where he looked well, he looked good at times, but they didn't win very many games, and he threw, I think, as many interceptions as touchdowns, or at least close to it. And they still went in search of quarterbacks, so that was his final year with them. So, I think it would still be realistically on the Texans' docket to go in search of a quarterback.
Speaking with Brooks Cabina from the Chronicle, Brooks, I feel like it's kind of an indication of just how this Texans season has gone is that one of the things that I'm clamoring for and most eager to see is third or fourth string running back Eno Benjamin. Why have I not seen Eno Benjamin?
Well, I mean, last week was a short week, and you also had Amari Rodgers who joined the team, and then he was joining in late in practice, and they didn't have a chance to use him last week too. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think we'll see him a lot. I think, in terms of spelling Damian Pierce at times. You look at the disparity in numbers between Damian Pierce's carries and Rex Burkhead and Dio Ogunbowale, and it's vast. They need somebody else to come in and help out, especially with seven games remaining for a rookie running back who seems to have a bright future, and you want to make sure that you're not spending too much on games that ultimately when they're going to a playoff push or not. So, I mean, he's a guy who can stretch the field on the outside, and he's got some speed to him. He can catch passes. We saw that a lot when in his time with the Cardinals and even in college in Arizona State. He played in two spread systems. And talking to him myself, he said this is the first time he's ever played in a pro-style offense where you come out of a huddle going under center. Unless he was doing that up in Wiley whenever he was playing in high school, but I doubt that in the way the high school football is also played in Texas. But I think he can add some interest to the offense and maybe give them another option when Pierce isn't there. So I think it's definitely going to be on the table because Pep Hamilton here, and I mean, he's fighting for his job too. I think when you look at this run-oriented scheme, to have two guys at your disposal, I think there are a lot of other people on the waiver wire. That's just another way of Nick Cassero to add players in a salary cap strapped season. They couldn't really make that many moves at the trade deadline either. And I think we'll see a significant time for me, Benjamin. And honestly, I think that's one of the more interesting things about this team going forward this year.
Brooks, you feel the same way about Amari? Amari Rodgers added as well. By the way, Falcons wide receiver Bryan Edwards was released or waived, and he is subject to waivers. I wouldn't mind taking a look at him. But Amari Rodgers comes in 5'10", 215, punt return skills, plays more in the slot than any outside. What do you project for Amari? Is it kind of the same thing, or do you feel like there's more opportunity because they can play, obviously, three and four wide receivers at a time? What do you expect to see from Amari, if at all, on Sunday?
Maybe I'm just trained to not expect much from wide receiver pickups from the Texans the past 2 years because they have cycled through that so much. And also, Rodgers has not produced as much as a receiver in the NFL to this point. I'm not saying that doesn't mean he can't do that with the Texans, who significantly need that. But I'm also surprised by the addition on itself because the Texans special teams has been playing at an A-plus level. And they've got two good return men in Tremont Smith as a kick returner, and Desmond King's been solid. And, I mean, right now they're in a position where Derek Stingley is injured, and, you know, you have to have Desmond King go to the outside, and he's playing more snaps as a cornerback, and maybe they want to give him more of a break whenever he goes in as a punt returner. But, you know, Rodgers fumbled five times this year. So, really, that's just a capital P potential in a guy that you maybe bring him into your own building, see if he can shake the dust off and figure things out. I don't expect to see Rodgers as much as I do Benjamin in this year. And I think he would take a lot more development because, I mean, just the way that you've seen the last two wide receivers come in, fitting into Pep Hamilton's playbook on the lower depth of the wide receiver depth chart hasn't really produced many targets. Tyron and Tyler Johnson both combined for less than three catches in their time with the Texans because, I mean, they're trying to target Brandon Cooks. I mean, that's its own conversation between him and Nico Collins, just getting to someone in the slot. I mean, that's the last seven games. I would expect very little production out of Amari Rodgers, who's just probably coming in to get a new place to develop, and they picked up his contract, so we'll see how he continues to grow in a new environment.
So this game opened up with the Texans as 11.5 point underdogs. I'm seeing on DraftKings right now they are 14-point underdogs. 11.5 did seem kind of shy for how the Texans have been versus the Dolphins. If the Texans are to pull this upset off somehow, what would you see having to happen other than just turnovers?
I mean, that's the one.
I know I cut you off the knees by taking away turnovers.
And they got five of them last year, and we didn't win. So
yeah, I mean, we've seen the Texans play to their potential and at their best at times this year, and it hasn't been enough. And this is a Dolphins team that's got two wide receivers that are probably going to eclipse 1,500 yards. I mean, the Texans need this to be an ugly game to win. They need Tua Tagovailoa to turn the ball over. They need their defense to play sloppy. They need to be able to control the game with Damian Pierce and Eno Benjamin and capitalize on turnovers. They just need this to be the worst game the Dolphins played, and they need to have it play to their style. I mean, the way the Texans play football, the way that they've chosen to play offense, it plays to that. So they're not going to be able to keep pace with a high-octane offense, and especially if they've got – if they get a bunch of possessions quick, which has been happening with the Texans. So, like, if, you know, these first three drives, the Texans have been going three and out quite frequently this year, and that gives a potent offense all the more of the upper hand. So I think that's what also necessitates a quarterback change, because you just need to get some ball movement. The Texans rank last in the NFL in average yards per drive, 26 per drive. They just need to start to get the ball moving, if the Dolphins are moving smoothly and it's not a sloppy game, I mean, they're going to eclipse that line.
Brooks Cabina from the Houston Chronicle. Brooks, I always enjoy your features that you do on players on the weekend. Who do you have coming up this weekend?
Well, we'll be talking to the quarterback today. So if
the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Okay.
Yeah, the starting quarterback. Maybe I'll just go along with that right now. Let's see who it might be whenever we get a chance to talk to whoever that might be.
All right, thanks a lot, Brooks.
Yeah. All right. Anytime, guys.
All right.
See you Saturday night, Brooks.
The Jets are making a change of quarterback too. Robert Saleh handled the situation a lot differently than the Texans did on Wednesday, and he said a couple things that I wonder if they apply to the Texans. We'll hear exactly how different it was coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Sean is on vacation, enjoying his Friday off after Thanksgiving. In for Sean today is John Harris from the Houston Texans and FootballTakeover.com. One of the pieces of news as we digest Kyle Allen likely starting for the Texans on Sunday was that all of that came out on Wednesday, which is the same time that Robert Saleh was announcing that Zach Wilson would not be starting. And John, obviously there's a couple differences in the way the Texans handled this compared to the Jets. The Texans' official line right now is that they haven't announced any change in the quarterback. Lovie Smith cited it as a competitive advantage to not talk about those kinds of things. This is how Robert Saleh handled it on Wednesday.
Zach's career here is not over. I know that's going to be the narrative. I know that that's what everybody wants to shout out, and that's not even close to the case. The intent, the full intent, is to make sure Zach gets back on the football field at some point this year. When that is, I'll make that decision. I'm going to take it day to day. The biggest thing with Zach, and the same things that we've talked about, is the young man needs a reset. His decision-making's been fine, his practice habits, all that stuff have been fine, but there's some basic fundamental things that have gotten really out of whack for him, and this is just an opportunity for him to sit back, focus on those things, find a way to get reconnect to all the different things that we fell in love with during the draft process.
So obviously that's a different strategy. As Robert Saleh was saying that, it did make me wonder, okay, in the way the Texans are handling this, where they're being kind of coy about it, how does that affect potentially Davis Mills' development and how they're feeling or treating Davis Mills? Not that I don't think quarterbacks need to be treated with kid gloves or anything, but I feel like with Robert Saleh there, they're publicly presenting this as a positive thing for Zach Wilson in the long term, that, hey, he needs a reset. I feel like some of that could be said about Davis Mills, even though I don't think Davis Mills has been as much of a train wreck as Zach Wilson has been over these last few weeks, despite the Jets winning football games. Is there anything to be said for, hey, at the very least, openly acknowledging it, like this could be better for Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think there's any question Robert Saleh handled it. We'll see. In both situations, I think one thing you'll find out about both these guys, Zach Wilson and Davis Mills, if they can't handle it, well, then you're whatever you did in the draft process is something you have to go back and reevaluate. And I know there have been a lot of people in Houston saying, you know, talking about Davis and whatever. Well, Davis was a third round pick.
Yeah,
he's a third round pick. You know, there were five quarterbacks that were taken ahead of him, and you take a third-round pick, and how many third-round picks actually pan out? And, I mean, we talked about it on draft night. Man, it wasn't when. When you're talking about number two overall pick, you're not assuming it's going to happen, but it's more a matter of when it's going to happen. That dude's a number two overall pick. I think what the Jets did is absolutely dead on, and they could look at what the Texans did last year. Now, that was brought on by an injury with Tyrod, but the injury forced Davis in. When Tyrod got healthy, they went back to him. But that 3 or 4 game stretch or whatever it was, once Tyrod got back, was that opportunity for Davis to step back, take a look at the game from a different lens, because he had been the backup. Then he jumps right into playing for the next how many ever weeks. Now he's back to the backup, but he has had that playing experience. So now, once he got back on the field, he could then apply, all right, these are some of the things I saw Tyrod do. Maybe I can incorporate that into my game, etc. The one thing about what Saleh said that kind of caught my attention was, we want him to get back to that guy that was with BYU that we fell in love with in the draft process. I'm like, wait a second. That guy at BYU was off schedule, off platform, throwing sidearm around his back. Is Robert Saleh sure he wants that guy back?
Is he sure
he wants that guy back? I don't know. I think they want that guy polished. And, you know, the thing that caught me also was the fundamental aspect of things. Now, is he talking about, you know, is he talking about throwing aspect? Is he talking about just leading the offense? Is it about reading defense? What that kind of left some things open to interpretation, but I can appreciate Robert Saleh going about it. What I said earlier about Lovie, I think would hold here. The competitive advantage part, maybe Lovie didn't even need to say. Lovie just, hey, we're not going to discuss starters, or we haven't discussed starters. And so I'm not going to do it. That's just been my philosophy. It's just been my way of going about it. Away you go. We are going to find out on Friday. Well, that's today's Friday. We're going to find out later today, because the quarterback is and has to speak. So quarterback's always just a different animal altogether. So was it handled clunkily? Is clunkily an adverb? Is that the right adverb to
use? It is on this clunkily? Show. We're very loose with the dictionary definitions.
Yeah. And I just think that had Lovie just said, you know, look, we don't talk about starters at press conferences or something along those lines, as he had said it. I don't know that it sounds any better, but at least, hey, that's his philosophy, and that's what you go with. 32 yeah. coaches have 32 different philosophies for how they're going to do it. That's the philosophy that Lovie has, and that's the way it's going to be. When he went to the competitive advantage part, I think that's what got everybody's attention, because everybody's like, wait a second. I think that's what got people's attention. So, had he just said, it's my philosophy, it's how I do it, I think people would have been like, okay.
People never want to hear about competitive advantage, like when you're in a situation where you're a 2-touchdown underdog to a team. Yeah. Because it does have a feeling of like, okay, seriously, that's going to be what does it. I sympathize with that philosophy, though, because I think you are in the position of always wanting to establish patterns and protocols and things like that. So even though it might seem like a lost cause, it's just good operating procedure, I guess. I can see that side of the argument. Let's roll into headlines. I've got one more point I want to make about this.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
So, according to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, other media members reporting this, and just good old-fashioned common sense, Kyle Allen will be starting on Sunday instead of Davis Mills. Here was Lovie in one of his multiple denials of there being any change in the situation on Wednesday.
Have you considered a change at play caller?
Absolutely not. Have I considered a change at play caller? No. All of our coaches are doing a, you know, working their butt off. Have we gotten results? No. So all those kind of questions like that, I think you know the answer. It's no.
That was in regards to a question about Pep Hamilton. So as far as the Pep, we don't anticipate a change of Pep Hamilton. I think that's one of the things that you're probably going to try to do here is, okay, benching Davis Mills isn't going to all of a sudden turn the Texans into a playoff contender, but does it give you a chance to better evaluate Pep Hamilton? Perhaps the offensive line functions a little bit better. In my mind, the biggest thing I want to see is, okay, teams don't have to psychologically just dial in on Damian Pierce now. Because I sometimes think, okay, well, if they're focusing on stopping Damian Pierce, then they must be putting 8 in the box. It doesn't have to be that. They could have a normal defensive front, but still psychologically what you're talking about during the week as a defensive player and team is, look, we're playing the Texans. Kill Damian Pierce. That's what our goal is. That's what our focus is. Every single play, you want to have 7 bodies on Damian Pierce. And you're going to say that every week, but the psychology going into a game against the Texans has been right now, like, all right, look, if Davis Mills beats us, then that's on us and we suck. But if Damian Pierce Damian Pierce is the guy we got to worry about. And I think right now, at the very least, instead of focusing solely on Damian Pierce, they gotta kind of keep one eye open on exactly what Kyle Allen is and what he might be able to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree from that perspective, and I think you hit it with making this change at quarterback is more than just making a change for Davis Mills. This is putting everybody in some sense on blast on the offense, and if everybody proves over the next how many ever weeks that Kyle is starting that, hey, this offense functions pretty well, then, okay, maybe it was Davis that was holding the offense back. But if Kyle steps out there and there are still some issues, it still raises a few questions, but I think it can also help in the evaluation process. And this team is, let's be honest, it's still in the evaluation process.
Yeah.
Which guys do we believe in? Which guys do we trust? Which guys can be 2023 and beyond? And which guys do we feel like are filling a spot for 2022 to get us through this particular year? So I feel like it is really, truly still a team in the evaluation process. What makes that really hard? And I really want to make sure that people understand this. Because coaches are like, well, why would Lovie do that? Well, let's go back to Lovie in 2014. Lovie takes the job in Tampa Bay, right? The Buccaneers go 2-14. It gets them the number one pick. They draft Jameis Winston. They improved to 6-10, I believe, that year. And Lovie got fired. Why? Because Dirk Cutter was the offensive coordinator, and Dirk Cutter was now, because he had done work with Jameis Winston, the hottest thing, and, oh, he's going to leave. And the Bucs went, no, 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 don't leave. We'll fire our guy. We'll go this guy.
That's right. Yeah.
If you're a head coach and you've gone through that situation, it leaves a stain, it leaves a mark, and it leaves not only a memory, but it also gets you, okay, if I'm in this situation again, I got to be careful because this is how it was handled before. It can be handled that way again. I've got to go about this and protect myself, protect my other coaches, etc. So I know it's really easy to just step off and blast the head coach, but you got to think about a coach's history and what that coach has been through. And I didn't really say this with Bill O'Brien, but when Bill was here, it was the same thing. Bill had gone through that Penn State situation, and he and I talked about that a lot. When he was up at Penn State, people would openly campaign for him to be out behind his back and then turn around and act like they were his best friend. He never knew who he could trust.
Yeah,
and I think maybe that's what coaching is to a degree. But Lovie was just in an NFL, his last NFL situation went, and I mean, just how I outlined. Does that sound familiar? A team with one or two wins gets the number one pick, gets a quarterback, and all of a sudden the offensive coordinator, because they go with the offense looks better, the offensive coordinator, you know, is maybe threatening to go take another job. I mean, could you see that situation playing out? Yeah, absolutely. So you can understand why Lovey's probably a little ornery about it.
John, you know what? I'm thinking about various football movies that have been made, and like football movies just never, they don't catch on the same way movies about baseball do,
right?
And some other sports for whatever reason. I think maybe what Hollywood needs to start focusing on is the front office stuff that goes on in football. Like, because that honestly, the amount of maneuvering and ally making and enemy and backstabbing and stuff, like, and this is across every NFL franchise, including the Patriots or anything, it's pretty crazy, and most of it never gets fully reported because it's such a closed-in environment that everybody's got. Nobody wants to ever, you know, to screw over.
It's the Iron Curtain, man. You don't talk about what happens on the other side of the Iron Curtain, man.
It reminds me of, like, I'm watching El Chapo on Netflix, and usually what happens is Hollywood will make things more dramatic than they actually are in real life. But, like, with El Chapo, I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Let me find out what the real story is. And it's like 400 times worse.
Yeah.
Like with El Chapo, the real life stuff is so crazy that you can't even sell it in Hollywood. And I feel like that's what NFL teams are like, with losing teams especially. And this is why I wasn't that critical of Jeff Saturday being hired up in Indianapolis. When teams are losing, and especially after a coach has been fired, everybody's kind of trying to figure out what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
And everything you do has a little bit of self-preservation attached to it.
Yeah. It's funny because being in the building, I probably know 10 to 15% more than the people out there.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening in like those situations is you hear rumors about things. Oh, I talked to a person who talked to a person who said this.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you then talk to the actual person involved.
Yeah.
And then they confirm what happened or confirm that something happened, or they say, oh, that's only part of the story. It's way worse.
Than that.
Oh, it's way worse than you guys ever thought it was
Like, yeah. Usually with gossip, it's like not nearly as bad, or it's not rooted in truth at all. But it's just that kind of. This is an NFL scout who just retired a couple years ago told me this, and it was really interesting. He said, "Look, this guy, he'd been in the NFL." He'd been a player in the NFL and then was in the NFL total for like 40 years. But he's like, look, I've seen it. It just happens. Every team I've ever been on, you got too many alphas in one organization. Yep. And when you got that many career-driven alphas, like even the good teams end up getting really, really ugly because you got guys that are trying to scratch and claw their way to the top, and they want to get there as fast as possible. They don't think of themselves as, you know, as some kind of Machiavellian types or anything, but it ends up being that way.
Yeah,
it's just so competitive.
It would be fascinating just the things that you hear and you know. I mean, when I go to Senior Bowl, and I don't know, I don't get information from scouts. I try and stay away from that because every now and again, I listen to a scout maybe tell me about a particular player. Like James Lipford alerted me to a guy that I don't even think he knew he was doing it, but he had mentioned a guy and I just went, oh yeah, I kind of act like I had known about him. I immediately went to my phone and went, okay, I got to check this guy out. And then I start watching him. I'm like, holy crap, this guy's good. Really, really good. And so I ended up putting in my Harris 100 after I studied him for another couple, three games. But when I'm at the Senior Bowl, it's amazing, amazing to listen to even like my, like I got my friend Sal Capaccio, who's the sideline reporter for the Bills. And there are a few others that I know. And then I talked to some agents. And you start hearing stories that never got out there. And you're like, oh, my God. I mean, some of them are just, they're soap opera stuff. Yeah. And I'm just, wow. And then there are things that have happened to me in the building that I'm, you know, over the last how many ever years, I could never tell. But right. The things that I end up hearing, like the Senior Bowl, the Combine, it's fascinating. Those things are going on. I mean, it's.
Well, it's
you're
like
right.
Warren,
you could
like Warren,
you could
Warren,
make
yeah.
you could make a documentary of it, and it would be incredible. That's why I love Hard Knocks in season, because I think it's the most raw that coaches and the organization are like right in the season, because they're so tired and they're so exhausted that they have no filter. There's no filter. So you're just getting everything that they've got, and I find it fascinating. And I feel like this one at the Cardinals, I have not seen episode 3. The first two episodes were outstanding. They were outstanding. Standing
oh,
to
okay.
watch.
I've got something to do this weekend then. So, yeah, Warren Moon had mentioned that with the 93 Oilers documentary, just that, because this is the other thing that happens. Not everybody is, like, keeping tabs on all the gossip in the building. Like, Warren Moon said a lot of that stuff was just news to him later on, all that drama that happened. Because you got your own stuff to worry about.
Right.
So, in other news yesterday, the slate of Thanksgiving games was better than it had been for centuries, when you'd get, like, a bad Lions team versus another bad team. The Lions are an interesting upstart. They go down to the Bills 28-25. The Cowboys take down the Giants 28-20. And the Vikings defeat the Patriots 33-26. I think of those three games, the two notable things to me were that, man, the Bills have been playing it down to the wire. For a team that is really good, they're just not right now. They're not as good as they should be. And then the other is that the Vikings, I think people were starting to wonder, okay, if it was just all an illusion after the Vikings got destroyed last week. I feel like the Vikings are a genuinely solid team. But I'm still not, I can't fall in love with a Kirk Cousins-led team. It's just, I have a Kirk Cousins anti-bias.
You know, it's funny, I thought about this. In fact, I texted you and Sean this, that it's not a segment you would ever hear at Texans All Access, but I thought it would be fascinating to kind of go through the quarterbacks in the NFL and say, okay, if this guy was the quarterback, obviously with Davis being replaced, like if you replaced him with this guy, how many wins would the Texans have had this year? If you replaced him with this guy... And so I'm watching and I'm thinking about that with Kirk Cousins. And I thought, if Kirk Cousins had been the Texans quarterback this year, how many wins would they have had? How many wins would Jimmy Garoppolo have had? And then I thought, would you take Cousins? And then this is all going on in my mind. And I thought, would you take either Cousins or Garoppolo? Just take your team. Let's take the Texans. Would you want Cousins or you want Garoppolo to be the guy to step in at quarterback, and who would be the best fit? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I like either one of them. And I bring that up because I feel like the 49ers are the best team in the NFL right now. I feel like the 49ers are the most talented. Okay. If they're healthy, the 49ers are the best team, yet they have Jimmy Garoppolo as the guy pulling the trigger. And I'm like, I mean, he's okay. And he's got him to a Super Bowl before, but I felt like it was everybody else kind of taking Jimmy with them as opposed to Jimmy taking them. So it is sort of fascinating to think about, you know, when you mentioned Kirk Cousins, I kind of think there are a few quarterbacks that fit in that category that I really wouldn't want them, but how much of a better option would they be? You know, what would they have done for us here in Houston if those guys had been the quarterbacks here? And just, I don't know. I found it fascinating to think about.
Well, with Kirk Cousins, the weird cross-sport comparison I might make is Clayton Kershaw, who for years and years and years was a much better baseball player than Kirk Cousins was a quarterback. But still, Clayton Kershaw was incredible in the regular season,
right. But
was so bad in the postseason, and to the point where even the stat nerds had stopped saying small sample size, you know, which is true. Like with baseball especially, you know, it's a small sample size with a few playoff games. But Kershaw had been going on for so long that it felt like it had to be something. And then he figured it out, and it wasn't anymore, and he was good in the playoffs. With Kirk Cousins, Like, whether it was just bad luck or there was something to it, man, there was something to that primetime Kirk Cousins effect where he was awful in primetime.
Yeah.
Where this year, like yesterday, Dalvin Cook rushed for like 2 yards a carry yesterday. They win that game. He's won a Monday night game this year, right? And like maybe this is the year that Kirk Cousins kind of turns the corner and is now a primetime quarterback.
Yeah, maybe he is. He ripped some throws. But I'll tell you, it's interesting when you have that guy at receiver.
Yeah.
That you absolutely, totally, and completely trust at wide receiver. You will rip some throws and put them in areas and take some risks that you probably wouldn't. And I would imagine if you talk to the quarterbacks over the years with the Texans, as it pertained to DeAndre Hopkins, they would probably tell you the same thing. Like, heck yeah, I'm going to rip that thing. It's DeAndre over there. He's going to catch it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cousins will just throw a ball, and it's got you would think, man, that thing's got no chance. And then Jefferson will make a one-handed catch, or he'll go between a guy and make a catch. It's fascinating when you've got that guy as your wide receiver, which makes me go back to 2019 and make me want to, because we had that receiver.
Yeah. Easy come, easy go, right?
It's all behind us.
Last headline item, and we'll just transition into this. Odell Beckham is going to visit the Cowboys on December 5th. Now, Odell Beckham Jr. was obviously being talked about a lot yesterday. Like, the entire broadcast seemed like they were just using it as a platform for showing various Cowboys players reaching out to Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
So he tore his ACL in the postseason, obviously, so it's not even a year since his ACL. He's taken his time with his recovery, and reportedly any other delays have been mostly about money. He's visiting the Cowboys on December 5th. Do you expect him to go to the Cowboys?
It would make sense.
Yeah.
I think it would make sense. I mean, you put him – now, CeeDee Lamb was extraordinary on Thursday. I mean, extraordinary. So if you put him with CeeDee Lamb – and Michael Gallup, wow. I mean, wow.
That's where I almost think with Odell Beckham Jr., because we saw Odell Beckham Jr. too be used really well in the playoffs last year after not doing much in the regular season.
Right.
And likewise, look at the Bucs when they won the Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown was used kind of selectively that year. Gronkowski was used selectively.
Yep.
But in those playoff games, it's just those big moments. It matters. And, you know, I could totally see Odell Beckham Jr. not even being 100%, but being used creatively in that manner and being a big factor in the playoffs.
That could end up making a contract situation kind of sticky from that perspective. You know, how much could you use him? How much will you use him, et cetera? But in Dallas, it's not as if he has to go in and be wide receiver one. He doesn't have to be wide receiver one. I mean, CeeDee's got that unlocked. But if he can be the complement to him, like, he understood his role with the Rams with Cooper Kupp. He totally understood it.
Yeah.
He got it. He was like, all right, you know, I know I'm the number two, but, man, that's going to open things up for Cooper. He can open things up for me. He understood all that, and I think he looks at Dallas and, man, the way Dallas can run the football with Pollard and Elliott now, and I hope Jerry doesn't get involved. Like, Zeke got to be number one. No, those two are great. You know, they're 1A, 1B sort of thing. Just stay out of it, Jerry. Let them go. That's a tough offense right now. You throw OBJ into the mix. Dak's got weapons. Like, yeah, man.
Is there another owner in sports where you would worry about the owner creating a division in the locker room somehow?
Jim Irsay. Oh, no.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, division in the locker room, or at least amongst your coaching staff. Yeah. I can see that.
That could be interesting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.